You guys ready for the word?
Yes.
I have to preface by saying, Donna and I had lunch with Tony earlier in the week, and I had asked Tony if he would do the introduction into praise and worship. And he told me some of the things, just some of the things. I didn't know what he was going to say exactly. He just told me the direction he was going. I said, that is so awesome, Tony. Now, at this point, Tony had no idea what the word is that I have. I said, that is so awesome, Tony. That kind of ties in with what I'm talking about. Just keep going in that direction. I have to tell you that one of the quotes that he gave, one of the definitions, is the definition you're going to hear later on today. It is the exact same thing. It is awesome. What God, I love the way the Holy Spirit moves and prepares things because he knew exactly what was going to be done. So thank you, Tony, and thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit as well. So here's what I did. I looked up the word art because I wanted to find out what the definition of art was, and I looked it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. I want to read to you, and actually Josh was going to show this to you. This is how it reads in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Art is the conscious use of a skill and creative imagination, especially in the production of aesthetic objects. So art is a conscious act. Art is a creative act. Art is something that comes from our minds and from our souls. One of the greatest artists of all time was Michelangelo. This is what Michelangelo, how he described art. Michelangelo said that a man paints not with his hands, but with his brains. A man paints with his brains and not his hands. What he's speaking about is that creative gift of God that God himself created in you. It is his nature in your mind and in your soul. Now, there's one part of that definition that I gave you from the dictionary that I have a problem with, and it's that word aesthetic. Because aesthetic means that which is pleasing in appearance and that which is attractive. Now, art should be pleasing in appearance if it's going to be considered art, although there's probably some modern art that would not fall into that category. But it should be pleasing. It should be attractive. But the word aesthetic also means this. It means responsive to those things that are pleasurable to the senses. It's talking about things that are sensual. If you want to find out some of the dangers of sensual, just read through the very brief book of Job or Jude. You will find what he says about that. So I got a little problem with that word, but we'll elaborate on that in a few moments. Right now, you're probably sitting there thinking to yourself, I'm not really an artistic person. Why is he talking to me about art on Sunday in church when he's supposed to be giving me a message about Jesus Christ and his word? I'll tell you why. Because you are created in the image of God. God is a creative individual. God is creativity. And you know what? That gift of creativity, he designed in you. It is in you. And we're supposed to use those creative gifts and those creative talents that he's given us. And you might be thinking to yourself, I'm not a creative person. Before this morning's done, you're going to find, I don't care who you are, there is creativity that is in you, and it comes out in different ways. We are to use the creative, the artistic gifts that he's given us, we're to use those to the glory and to the pleasure of God instead of to the glory and the pleasure of the senses, which is where art usually winds up going in the world. So what is art? Art is the creative imagination that is designed in you as his creation. Now, art takes on many different forms. Art is expressed in many different ways. We think of art, we think of things like painting, drawing, sculpting, writing music, playing a musical instrument, singing, writing novels, dance. I mean, what other things? These are the things we think of. Certainly all those things are art. But I want you to see today that art is every form of creativity that there is. Because you've been created with the creative nature of God designed inside of you. Art is every kind of creativity. And you know what? We see it from the very beginning. We see this in the garden. We can see the creativity of God designed in Adam in the garden. Look at this. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse number 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. And he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. One of the first things that God did with Adam is have Adam think. Have Adam give the names, to think about names and to give names to every creature that God created. You can see in the very beginning, you can see God pulling the creativity out of Adam. You can see him teaching Adam to use that creative nature that God himself designed in Adam. It's that creative nature that is in us. God wants his creativity to be expressed through the unique creation of you, of each one of us. And you know what? It's good for us. It's good for us to express our creativity. Because when we express our creativity, it does multiple things. It brings us comfort. It brings us peace. It brings us fulfillment and contentment. It draws us closer to God who gave us those creative tendencies. This is in part why when we sing songs of praise and worship like we just did, this is in part why when we sing those songs, we get those results. We get peace. We get comfort. We get calmness. We get fulfillment and we get contentment. Why? It's because it is your personal creativity being released. It is art to God's glory. We are designed as his creation with his creativity within us. Now that expression, it comes in many different ways. It's not just in the things that I talked about. It comes in many different ways. Yes, it does come from all those artistic things that we talked about. But it comes in many other different ways as well. It's as broad as whatever your gifts, whatever your background, whatever your nature is. Because you are a unique creation in him. And so he's developed those things within you. It's not just the painting. It's not just all of those things. It is literally this. Think about this. I'm going to say this really slowly. I might even say it twice. This is what creativity is. This is the true expression of creativity. It is in every form of human endeavor that you apply yourself to. Artistic creativity is in every form of human endeavor that you apply yourself to. It is in tasks. It's in every endeavor that you would face in your life. Every time that you apply the knowledge, the ability, the skills that Jesus has gifted within you, every time you apply those things, you are expressing the creative nature of God that he individually designed within you. And again, it's not just those art things that we talk about. This is still art. Let me give you an example. There's a woman that I know that she is one of the most gifted people in organizing that I know. In fact, she gets great fulfillment. She gets great joy out of organizing. Now, you wouldn't think that that's artistic, but I tell you that it is. Because it is a creative, this is what it's doing. It is creative. It is taking chaos and bringing it to order. Now, first of all, that is godly, taking chaos and bringing it into order. But beyond that, that is artistic. That is an artistic work to take mountains of chaos and to make it assembled and to make it in order. That is artistic. Now, if you're an organizational person, you might not think that you're artistic, but can you see? That is creativity. That is artistic gift. Let me give you another example. Because I know a lot of people that have minds that would think towards things that I wouldn't think to, like math and geometry and stuff like that. Stuff that just, as soon as you start saying that, the eyes glaze over for me. But there are people that it's a different mindset. And it'll be easy to say, well, that's not creative. No, I will tell you that it is. I don't have time to explain it to you, but have you guys ever heard of anybody heard of the Fibonacci sequence? Nice, good. Man, you guys are well educated, man. Look at the history. That's 2 weeks in a row for you guys. I can't give you all the details, but the Fibonacci code, look it up. It really is intriguing. The Fibonacci code, it's a code that was made by a guy, they called him Fibonacci, but his name was Leonardo of Pisa. And back in the 1200s, he just used math. He used numbers. And just out of the creativity of numbers, he created the sequence. He found the sequence. And in the sequence, it would take too long to explain, but in that sequence, you can find nature uses the sequence. You can find it God's creation. You find his sequence all the time. When you look at a hurricane and you see that spiral, when you look at spiral galaxies, you look in the snail shells. You can look in the sunflowers, the seeds of a sunflower. They all go along with this, the Fibonacci sequence. You can see it in God. Here's someone that took numbers and just playing creatively with numbers did something that identifies how God works in creation. I'll give you another example. If you know anything at all, and you don't have to, but when you talk about physics, when you talk about like particle physics, we're talking about things that are small, so minute, the human eye can't even see them. How do we know these things? It's because of people that have calculus. I don't know what kind of, Mark, what kind of mathematics would you use for that kind of physics? Yeah. Thank you. I don't feel quite so bad then. I figured if anybody knew, you would know. So whatever kind of math and calculations you would use, it is through mathematical calculations that they create. They can't see atoms. They can't see electrons, and they can't see nucleuses and protons and neutrons. They can't see neutrinos. They can't see all of these whole, what they call the zoo particle. They can't see any of those things. How do they know those things are there? It is because somebody using numbers creatively, the numbers show those things. They can see them and visualize them, and they're shown to be true. They're accurate. We know those things exist. Why? It's through the creativity of mathematics. So I want you to see it's not just in singing, dancing, drawing, painting, sculpting. Each one of you, however God created you, there is the creative nature of God that is designed in you. And he wants us to use that creative nature to his glory. I would even say that part of the reason that the church has lost its influence in the world is because the church, you and I in the church, we're not developing those creative skills. Creative skills that are dedicated to the glory of Jesus Christ, those creative skills will bring about, they will produce insight, answers, creative solutions that nobody else in the world would ever have thought of. If you read people's histories and testimonies, you see believers who, when there was disaster all around, they came up with solutions and answers that nobody else could have thought of. Why? It is the creative nature of God being used through them. I'll give you a biblical example. There's a guy in the Bible called King Uzziah. Where's Jeff? Yes, it's one of the people that Jeff is going to be... It's not up yet, but it's going to be up on the teachings. It is up. It's on the teaching academy that we have. He talks about the kings. King Uzziah is one of those kings. Here's the great thing about King Uzziah. King Uzziah was gifted by God with the ability to create things that nobody else could even imagine. The Bible says that King Uzziah invented. He invented things that were for the glory of God. They accomplished his will. And they were to the salvation of God's people. He invented machines. He created machines that nobody else could have imagined. Listen to what it says. This is 2 Chronicles 26, verse number 15. In Jerusalem, I'm showing this to you from the Expanded Bible. In Jerusalem, Uzziah made clearly, expertly, carefully designed devices, machines. These devices, machines on the towers and the corners of the city walls were used to shoot arrows and large rocks. So Uzziah became famous in faraway places because he had much help until he became, was marvelously, tremendously helpful and became powerful. Basically what this is saying is that God gave the gift of creativity. He gave to Uzziah the ability to think about, to imagine, and to invent machines that nobody else had thought about, that nobody else had even considered. So what are the creative solutions that you have to offer to the world? Because you know what? When the world sees the elegance of God's creative nature in you, they're going to take notice. And they will be drawn to Jesus Christ because of, listen to this, because of the artistry of your creativity. The world will be drawn to Jesus by the artistry of your creativity. So here's the key for us. The key for us is to make sure that we use that artistic creativity always to his glory and not to our glory. Amen. See, in everything that we do, in every expression of art, in every expression of creativity that you have, do it to the glory of Jesus Christ. In everything, amen, do it fully unto his glory. Do it for him. Do it unto him. Let him be glorified in you. In the dictionary's definition that I gave you earlier, I told you I didn't like that one word, aesthetic. Let's talk about that a little bit more. Because aesthetic, as I said, it focuses on the sensual instead of the spiritual. So perhaps it's time for us to consider a better definition of what art is. And who better to give us an explanation or a definition of art than the man who was perhaps the greatest artist God ever created? Anybody know who I'm talking about? Those of you who know me? Michelangelo. Yes, I get to quote Michelangelo twice. Man, in one. Man. So this is what Michelangelo said. Michelangelo says, the true work of art is but a shadow of the divine perfection. The true work of art is but a shadow of divine perfection. What he's simply saying, he's identifying and talking about that creative art that is in us. He's saying that the most beautiful work, the most beautiful masterpiece ever produced is but merely a shadow of the beauty of his glorious realm. But when we create, and when we create to his glory, the creative nature of God is released through you, and it reveals to the world a glimpse of that glory. This is why it's so important for us to develop and use to his glory those creative artistic abilities that he's given to us. I'll give you another biblical example about this, perhaps the best biblical example from this. It's from an Old Testament individual that we talked about before. Let's see if you remember. Anybody remember who Bezalel was? Yes. One person did. Good. Who was Bezalel? Yes, he did. Here's the picture so you can remember him. This is Bezalel. Jessica got it right. It's the guy who did all the work, all that creative work in the temple. So here's the story. If you remember, God gave Moses a vision of his glory when Moses was on the mountain. And then God instructed Moses to create the tabernacle based on the plans that Moses had seen in the glory of God. Now, it would take great artistic abilities to create all those elements for the tabernacle. It would take great artistic abilities. God gave those artistic abilities to Bezalel. Now, Bezalel was nothing more than a former slave in Egypt, just like all the rest of the Israelites. So his previous experience in creative expression was what? Making bricks for Pharaoh? That's not exactly good training ground for high art. But listen to what God says. So this is in Exodus chapter 31. I'm going to read verses 2 through 5. So I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding. This is all part of creativity. Wisdom, understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. We also know from further verses, he did all kinds of tapestries too. Anything that was involving artistry, Bezalel was the one who had the gift of artistic work. So God gave Bezalel this gift of artistic abilities. And he gave it to Bezalel to reveal to man a glimpse of the divine. That's exactly what he did. Because in Bezalel's work, in all of those elements of creating the tabernacle, in all of that work, what did Bezalel do? He was creating a shadow of the glory that God had shown to Moses. We see that's exactly what's said in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 5. Again, it's talking about this very scenario, circumstance. Who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. So this is talking about how Bezalel was given the ability to do those things. To do what? To create the image, to create a shadow of those heavenly things. How in the world did Bezalel, how did he do that? How did he accomplish that? How did he create a shadow of heavenly things? You don't have to go back there, but we saw the answer in Exodus chapter 31. I was going to read this one part to you. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. How did Bezalel accomplish these things? It was the Holy Spirit that empowered him to do these things. So think about this. God's creative nature in you, powered by the Holy Spirit, that is going to point the world, it's going to point men all the time right back to Jesus, because they're going to see the eternal beauty that is otherwise hidden because of this flesh. It is through your creative expressions, in whatever form those are, the world gets to see the glory, a glimpse of the glory that otherwise they would never be able to see. That's awesome. Creative expression in whatever form you have, creative expression in any form, is a powerful way for you and I to imitate our Creator. Just let that sink in for a second. This is why it's so important for us to know what our creative, artistic gifts, to know what they are. Learn what are the artistic, creative gifts that God has created in you. Learn what they are, develop them, and then apply them to the glory of God. I'm going to read another verse to you. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. But I want you to see this in the Amplified Bible. So Ephesians 2, verse number 10. I'm sorry, this is the Expanded Bible. God has made us what we are. For we are His handiwork, workmanship, work of art. That's a great picture in Christ Jesus. God made, created us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to love in our lives doing. I'm sorry, to live our lives doing. So the word that we see here that says works, under good works, that word that we see in that verse, that word for works, it's certainly talking about the good service that He planned for us to do in these lives as we represent Christ to the world. It certainly means that. But when you look at the Greek word, when you look it up, and this is exactly what Tony showed you, it's exactly the definition that I got from the Greek also. That's why I love the fact he brought the same thing up. Here, it's the Greek word is ergon. And what the word means, in part, well, let me just read to you what it says. If you just remember back, if you listen to Tony, it's the same thing. This is what it says. In the Greek, it means any product, whatever, so that's whatever you're producing with your hands, whatever artistic things, whatever product, any product, whatever, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, and mind. You and I were created. That's what that verse says. You and I, we were created as His work of art. Your life, whoever you are a work of art created by God. So use the creative nature that He invested in us, and let's create works of art for Him. How do we do that? Well, by the definition that Tony gave you and that I gave you, here's how we do that. Use your hands. It says, by the hand. So if you draw, draw for Jesus. If you sing, sing for Jesus. If you dance, dance for Jesus. If you do origami for Jesus. It's with the hands. It also says it's expressed by industry. What does that mean? It's the example I gave you earlier. If you said to yourself, well, I'm just a person that has organizational skills, that's not creative. Yes, it is. It's accomplishing those things to His glory. By the hand, by industry, and what's the final thing? By mind. It's those creative solutions, those things that the world would never think of. But you will think of those things because it's His creative nature in you. By hand, by industry, by mind, or by any other creative form that is an outlet for you. Because you are a work of art. You are God's masterpiece, His work of art. So let's make works of art for Him out of our lives. In whatever we're doing, let's use that creative ability and do works of art for Him. Now, we need to make sure we cannot allow ourselves to become idle concerning the creative gifts, the artistic gifts that Jesus has given us. We cannot allow ourselves to become idle. The words of the prophet Amos, they should stir within us. They should stir within us the diligence to develop those skills and to use them for His glory. Listen to what Amos says. This is Amos chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Woe to you who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches, who eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and invent for themselves instruments of music like David. In Amos' day, the people were using the artistic gifts, the creative gifts that God had entrusted to them. In Amos' day, they were using those things for their own carnal satisfaction. They were living their lives to live at ease. The only thing that they were concerned about was satisfying themselves. It was those sensual pleasures. They were sacrificing the creative, artistic gifts of God through idleness. How much does that sound like our cultural attitudes today? These people were also given the ability to invent. That's what that verse said. Amos said they were given the ability to invent musical instruments. And they invented musical instruments, but they did it for their own entertainment, not to glorify God. They were only concerned with satisfying their sensual pleasures. Again, it all comes back to the sensual. That's where art can go astray. It is God's creative nature in you. They were only concerned with the sensual. What about you and I? What are we doing with the creative gifts that Jesus Christ has filled us with? What are we doing with them? Are we using them just for our own entertainment? Are we using it just to satisfy our own senses? Or are we using it to bring glory to Him? In Amos' day, it says those people were singing songs for amusement. Amos, he contrasted their idleness and their leisure with David. Did you notice that at the end? He contrasted their idleness with David because David had also been given, I'll show you in a second, David had also been given the creative ability to create musical instruments as well. But David did it for the glory of God. Look at this. This is in Chronicles. I forget which one. 1 Chronicles, chapter 23, verse number 5. 4,000 were gatekeepers. 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments, which I made, said David, for giving praise. Now, when we think of David, we are well aware that David wrote some awesome praises to God. But we probably didn't realize, probably until today, you probably didn't know that David also invented and created instruments upon which he could offer that praise. So here's the question. What are the artistic gifts? What are the creative gifts that are in you that God's creative nature has placed inside of you? What are they? Because if you would say to yourself, I don't know what my artistic gifts are. I don't know what those creative areas are. Listen, I would say to you, if you would say that, this is what I would say to you. Ask Him. He put it in you. Just ask Him. I'm quite serious. If you don't know what your creative artistic gifts are, or if you want to discover what some of the artistic gifts are that you're not even aware of yet, ask Him. Ask Him. Because it's His creative nature that is in you. It's in you by His design. You are His work of art. He puts you on display. This is my work of art. This is Jeremy, my work of art. He puts you on display. Well, as His work of art, do great works of art for Him and to bring glory to Him. I got to stop here, but Don and I are not going to be here next week because we're going to be at the Army-Navy game. Jeff's going to be here next week, and I know Jeff told me what his message is, and unless God's changed it, or He could still change it between now and then, it's going to be a good message. It's Jeff, so it's going to be a good message. So please come and support Jeff next week. But then in 2 weeks, when I come back, I'm going to pick up on this because I want us to see how vitally important this is. In fact, I want to show you everything I've said today, the message that I really had for you, the basis of it, it's what's next week. I just couldn't get around to it until next week or the next time. So 2 weeks, yes. So what we're going to talk about in 2 weeks, we're going to look again, and we're going to see how art, and this is important, we'll see how art, how easily it can turn into idolatry. But here's the real thing that I want us to see. And we'll look at this next week, and I'll show you some examples, historical examples. A lot of times, I'll say this for you, in any artistic endeavors that you have, in any areas of creativity, I want you to know, and I'll explain this in a second, but I want you to know that your artistic grasp will not exceed your artistic reach. And why do I say that? Because that's one of the comments that I've seen artists have made throughout history. One of the big complaints of artists is this. They've said, my artistic grasp exceeded my artistic reach. In other words, they had these grand visions. They had pictures in their mind because of the creative nature that God created in them. They knew what they wanted to do, but the flesh was not able to achieve it because they were operating in the flesh and not to the glory of God. I say to you, whatever the creative gifts are that are in you, whatever those artistic abilities are, your artistic grasp will not exceed your reach because you have Jesus Christ, who is the one who gave you those artistic abilities. It's his nature in you. And if you dedicate those things to him, you will come up with masterpieces in any area of creativity that you have. Your grasp will not exceed your reach in Jesus Christ. He's given you the ideas. He will give you the ability to accomplish them so that in those things you can glorify Jesus. Amen? Good. All right, so I want to take, before we close, I just want to take a few minutes because when we're doing this, this is just a great time to do communion. Let me read to you. This is from Matthew, and this is as in Matthew's gospel. It's describing Jesus with his disciples. So in Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse number 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread himself and broke it. And he gave it to the disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I'm going to pick it up from there in just a second. But let's just get ready for partaking ourselves. So he took the bread. Jesus took the bread, his body broken for us. He broke it, and he gave thanks. Jesus, we thank you for all the things. We thank you for the life that we have. We thank you for the new life that we have in you. And we thank you for all the things that you plan to do through each one of us. We want our lives to glorify you. We thank you for your body broken, your blood shed for us, your blood shed so that we could have a relationship with the Father once again. And in that, we can then eat the word. We can eat the bread, your word. We can take every promise inside of ourselves. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Now, let me continue on with what Jesus said. That next verse, this is verse number 29. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, when people talk about that, certainly talking about the kingdom of God is what is yet to come. But if you look in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse number 21, Jesus himself says, the kingdom of God is in you. So think about this. When we partake, Jesus said he was not going to drink of the cup again until he drank it with us in the new kingdom. The kingdom of God is in you. When we take the cup, Jesus is drinking with you. He is celebrating this with you. Now, let me just read the next verse. Verse 30 says this, and when they had sung a hymn, they went up to the Mount of Olives. Sung a hymn, that's one of those expressions of creativity. It's one of those artistic impressions. So this is what I want us to do. I want us to all come up. We'll all partake together. Everybody come up, take some bread, take a cup. We'll pray together. When you take a piece of bread, when you take a cup, sit down and just think. Think about the artistic and ask him, if you don't know, ask him, what are the creative artistic gifts that he's given? What have you given to me? And how can I use them to your glory? It's the same thing as them singing those hymns. Think about what it is. Let him show you that. And as we're partaking, rejoice, thankfully rejoice for those artistic, those creative, his creative nature designed in you. Amen? Why don't you guys come up? Come up, then take a seat.